It is the fourth Tuesday in October, time once again for Getting to Know You. Our guest this month is Wayne Doucette from Alabama to guide us on this most interesting journey through this man's life. Here is our host for this evening, Susie B.
Welcome, everyone, to tonight's edition of Getting to Know You. And tonight, my guest is Wayne Doucette from Alabama. Wayne, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Wayne, we're going to start off with some very basic questions. Where were you born and where did you grow up?
I was born in Church Point, Louisiana, which is a small town located about 20 miles west of Lafayette. And we lived there till I was about 4 years old. And then we moved to New Orleans, and that's where I lived, you know, for the rest of the time I was growing up.
Do you have brothers and sisters? And if so, how many?
I had three brothers. Two are deceased.
Where did you fall in line? Youngest, oldest?
I was second.
All right. At what age did your parents discover that you had problems with your vision?
I was probably about 2.5.
Do others in your family have bad vision?
Yes. Both of my parents did. Uncles and aunts on both sides of the family, several cousins, one grandmother.
Okay, and what was the cause of this?
On my mother's side, it was glaucoma. On my father's side, it was cataracts.
Gotcha. Were there any treatments that were tried for your eye condition, such as surgery or special medications?
When I was about 2 years old, it might have been more than once. I don't remember exactly, but I was placed in pediatric ICU so they could try experimental medications, try to see what they could do about my glaucoma, but it didn't help. And luckily, I didn't have any bad side effects from the medication either.
That's good. Did you have any vision at all?
Just a little walking around vision. I never could see well enough to read print.
That walking around vision, though, after you lose that, you realize how great that was. Okay, when it was time to go to school, where did you go to school? Did you go to a school for the blind, public school, or what sort of a setup did you have?
I went all the way through school in public school. We were, I guess, like a pilot program for mainstreaming it at that time. It was probably going on in other parts of the country as well, but that's, you know, by the time they started it there in New Orleans.
If you don't mind my asking, what year was that?
I started school in 1956. Graduated in 1968.
All right. In this pilot program, did you have all the basics, Braille? Well, apparently you had all of that, but did you have the Braille and did they have all the accommodations that you needed for your textbooks and mobility and whatever?
We were taught to read and write Braille. We wrote Braille both with a slate and stylus and with a Brailler. We didn't always have all of our textbooks in Braille. And some of our classes we had with what they called a special resource teacher, like math classes. We didn't attend those with the sighted students because Braille math and print math, it works out the same in the end, but you don't get there the same way.
You do have to make some curves to get to that. Did you have any favorite subjects in school?
Not really. I did pretty well, you know, and everything. I always told people the reason I did well in school was because I definitely didn't want to have to stay back any longer than I had to.
Okay, in high school, how were your grades even in high school?
I did well. I graduated with a 92.4 average. And in my junior year, I was inducted into the National Honor Society. And I think grade average is one of the main considerations for that, along with character references. I think you have to be referred by 3 members of the faculty.
That's pretty impressive. In high school, did you have any idea, or what were your ideas of what you wanted to do when you got out of high school?
No, I did not have any idea what I wanted to do.
But did your mother?
My mother, from the time I was a very small child, insisted that I would go to college. I didn't even know what college was when she started talking about it. She told me, that's 4 more years of school after you graduate. I said, oh, no, I'm not interested in that. Well, as it turned out, I did go to college, but I was too immature for it. I dropped out in my freshman year.
Okay, when you dropped out in college, what did you do then? Just sit home, or did you look for work?
I moped around for a while. I was totally lost. My life didn't have any structure in it anymore. After a couple of years, I went to work at the Lighthouse for the Blind, which is the, you know, the workshop there in New Orleans. Went to work in the broom shop running a broom stitcher.
So how long did you do that?
Approximately 5 years, but there was actually about a 6-month period during that time when I moved to San Antonio after I got married, because that's where my wife was from and she wanted to go back. And we only stayed there about 6 months. I worked at the Lighthouse for the Blind and the broom shop there before we came back to New Orleans, back to the same job.
Okay, so you were able to come back to the same job.
Yes, I didn't miss any time at all.
So then did you decide you wanted to do something else other than work at the sheltered workshop? And if so, what did you do?
I heard that some of the film processing companies were hiring blind people to do darkroom work. So I went around to several of them in the area, put in job applications, and one of them called me back. It was Stanley Fox Photo. They had 31 plants throughout the nation at that time, and I don't think they're even in business anymore. But anyway, they called me back and gave me a job working in the darkroom, is what they called the film pre-splicer. What I did was I would splice the rolls of film together into a continuous reel and then put it in a light-proof container and take it out to the processor.
How long did you do that?
About 4 years.
Okay, so did you stay in that area or did you move? And after the darkroom thing, I have an idea that you were always working. So what did you do next?
Although I liked the job that I had, I really wanted to get a job working during the day. I couldn't get used to that night shift. I heard that in Pineville, Louisiana, at the Veterans Hospital, there was a blind guy there that processed the film in the X-ray department, and he was about to retire. So they told me I had a chance to get that job, so I moved up there and went through the training. He actually did the training and everything, but then when it came down to it, they decided not to refill that job. I think he kind of left a bitter taste in people's mouths there, but I did get to go to a state hospital. My rehab counselor arranged that to where they gave me temporary employment to see if they could make it into a permanent job. But after a little over 2 years, that didn't work out either.
Now, was this darkroom tech?
Yes, I was processing the x-ray film in the dark room.
Okay. And folks, I keep going from all of these jobs because he did a lot of jobs. He didn't just quit. And okay, after this, where did you go to work?
Well, after that didn't work out, I went and took the training to get into the vending program. And I got a over-the-counter facility at the federal building in Alexandria, Louisiana, where it was, they housed the post office and selective service and federal court and a lot of different things like that. Senator Russell Long from Louisiana had his office there, and I actually got to meet him.
Now, when you say over-the-counter, was this more prepackaged items, or did you actually do some food prep there? Or was it all vending machines? Or a combination of all of them?
It was over the, well, it was all prepackaged except for I had one drink machine. I didn't have any food preparation or coffee because post office regulations won't allow that.
Really? They wouldn't allow you to have coffee?
No, I heard that later on they did start that, but they wouldn't do it while I was there.
Did you like working there? And if so, how long did you stay?
I was there for about 3 years, and yeah, I did like it there. I really liked the people, but I got a chance to move to a better location. Well, more lucrative location. It didn't turn out to be better. That was in Shreveport, Louisiana, and I wish I would have checked it out more thoroughly before I moved, because when I got there, I didn't like the location, didn't like the city, didn't like anything about it. So, the job was located in a high-crime area. People would come in off the street that were really difficult to deal with, and there were several break-ins, and finally, I just had enough. I just quit.
So did you go back to Louisiana?
I was in Louisiana, but no. That was when I came to Talladega, Alabama. Went to work at the shop here, which they call the Industries for the Blind. And I was back to my original job, running the broom stitcher in the broom shop. And I did that for about 4 years until I decided I would learn how to run the commercial sewing machine, because they had a lot of jobs in that area, and I took that training and went into that.
Now, you talked about making these brooms. I want to know, did you learn how to use one?
No, ma'am. I don't know which end you're supposed to use.
Oh, that handle doesn't fit your hands, huh?
Never has.
I was afraid you'd say that. Did you stay with the machine stitching job?
Well, I stayed with the commercial sewing machine operation for about 5 years, and then I decided to go into the vending program here in Alabama. The first location I got there was the snack bar at the Industries for the Blind. I would tell people that I worked in every department out there and ran the snack bar.
Was it a pretty good location?
It was pretty good. Of course, I really liked working with the people. I knew most of them.
Okay, let's switch away from work a minute. We're not finished with it, but can you remember a birthday that was really special, and what was so special about it?
No, nothing comes to mind.
I think you ended up in Nashville.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah, it was my 50th birthday in 2000. My wife surprised me with tickets to go to a Merle Haggard concert at the Ryman. I really enjoyed that.
You got to sit on the church benches. Also, did you do any public, get to sing with the band anytime you were in Nashville? Not at the Ryman.
Yes, I did. That was at a different time when we just went back just to knock around a little bit. And we went into a place called Roberts, which is close to the Ryman. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning. And of course, you know, if you've been to Nashville, you know you can find live music 24 hours a day. So anyway, we went in there to listen to the music. And after we were there about 45 minutes or an hour, the band leader said, well, this is the part of our show where we see if anybody in the audience wants to come up and sing. Do we have any singers in the audience? And my wife pointed to me, and he said, yeah, he looks like a singer. So I got to go up there and do a few songs. And I always tell people about the time I performed in Nashville.
That was a pretty big deal, wasn't it? And did you enjoy it?
Yes, I enjoyed it very much.
All right, let's back up a little bit. Can you think of any major hurdle that you may have had before the age of 25?
No, I don't think so. It seems like I had a pretty sheltered life.
Well, I think you were on the move all the time. Let's go back to your work experiences. Did you do anything after the vending at the Industries in Talladega? Or did you just stay in Talladega?
After that, I applied for a vending route, which, you know, was we serviced several buildings. I think there was about 7 or 8 different buildings on that route, which made it pretty lucrative. And my older brother worked with me on that for a few years. He did the driving, you know, and helped stock the machines.
Do you know how long you did that, and why did you change?
I must have lost my key somewhere. I was saying, you know, my brother was working with me, but he needed to take time off to be with his wife. Her health got bad. But by that time, I had gotten remarried, and my wife was sighted, and she had experience doing this kind of work. She had done it with somebody else before, so we just started running it together. We did that for quite a while until her health started going bad. We didn't really know what was wrong with her. She would just have some really bad days. And the doctors were finally able to diagnose that she had lupus, which I understand is hard to diagnose. They finally did get it into remission, but by that time it had really done a number on her. So I gave that up and came back to work here at the Industries because they offered a good health program. And I really needed, you know, the insurance for my wife at that point.
Okay. When did you retire from working?
May 1st, 2017, the day I turned 67.
Was this a happy day for you or a bittersweet?
It was bittersweet, actually. I didn't have any intentions of retiring. I didn't feel like I had anything else to do, but I started having so much trouble with my back and my knees that I couldn't hardly get around anymore. So I decided I would have to hang it up and just see what else life had to offer.
And that hadn't been that many years, I guess 6 years. So for the last 6 years, have you been... had any hobbies or things that you've enjoyed doing?
Mostly, I just read a lot of books, listen to a lot of sports. Other than that, I didn't have much going on. Visit friends from time to time. And it was really a good thing for me, you know, when I was able to get on here talking to all you people. That helps me a lot.
Well, I think that helps a lot of us. I mentioned to my daughter one time I didn't really have any friends around here. She said, Mom, you've got all kinds of friends. You talk to them every night. And I thought, well, you've got a good point. I do. What kind of books do you like to read?
Mystery, detective, police procedurals, suspense, historical novels. I think that's about it.
And you mentioned sports. Which sports do you follow, and do you have a favorite team?
My favorite sport is football, and even though now I've been in Alabama more than half of my life, I still remain loyal to my Louisiana State Tigers and New Orleans Saints. My second favorite sport is baseball, and I grew up listening to the Houston Astros with my dad, so I still do that, you know, whenever I can. It always reminds me of him.
Right. Can you think of any funny or embarrassing situation that has happened in your life that just keeps popping its head up every once in a while?
I'm sure there's been some. At this point, I can't think of anything I would like to share.
Well, I've already interviewed Kevin, so is there anything you'd like to tell off on Kevin?
No, I think he did a pretty good job of doing that himself.
Okay. All right. Is there anything that you can think of that you would like to add?
You know, in all of my time going through school, I never felt like I had many friends. I always felt kind of left out, but I always wondered if maybe I just didn't reach out enough, or if maybe the other students found me unapproachable or something, because I always remember on my graduation night, when I walked across that stage to get my diploma, the entire faculty and student body stood as one, gave me a standing ovation, and they didn't do that for anybody else, and I always wondered what that was all about.
Well, I think it's because you were an honor student, and well, I guess we won't know, but I just happened to think of something else that we didn't get to. When you were a little boy, I think your family played a lot of music. What about your performance?
When we were still living in Church Point, when I was 3 years old, my dad was the accordion player in a Cajun music band, and one day when they were practicing over at our house, the band leader heard me singing out in the yard because that's what I did all the time anyway. And he thought it would be a good gimmick to get me up to sing with the band. They did that at the dance halls back then. And that at that time, they would let people in, young children. It didn't matter, even though they were selling alcoholic beverages and it was being freely consumed. And I guess the authorities looked the other way. But anyway, I got to go in there and sing with the band. Not anything in French. It was English. But all the crowd really ate it up. They would come up there and hand me nickels to do another song, and I'd come home with a pocket full of nickels.
I think that's a great place to end. I'm sure I did mention it, but now the folks that are here at your interview have an opportunity to ask you questions. And if they should ask something that you really don't want to answer, just say move on, and that's it. So are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I would just like to say, you know, that I don't hear very well, and I don't hear everybody at the same level. So if I don't understand your question, I might get somebody to repeat it, because I do want to be able to answer all of them.
All right, folks, here is your opportunity to ask our tonight's guest questions. So if you are keyed up and you hear somebody else asking a question, please let go of your key, because if you don't, he won't get a chance to answer your question. I think we'll have plenty of time for everyone to get to ask a question, and I suggest that you just ask one question so everyone will have an opportunity. We have more time than a chance will be for another question. So here you go, folks. Wayne Doucette.
Wayne, we'll have to talk sometime. You work for Fox Photo. I worked for them for 16 years, St. Louis plant. We'll talk about those dark rooms and the dim machinery. That'd be an interesting conversation. So I'm looking forward to that little talk someday with you.
I didn't catch all of that.
That was Mark. He also worked for Fox Dark Room. Sure, that's not the right name. But he did that for 16 years, so he's looking forward at some point for you all to have a chat about that.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Yeah, you're right, Susie. It was Fox. That was the name of the company.
And my question for you, Wayne, is you mentioned that you married a couple times. I don't think you mentioned whether you have any children or not.
I had one daughter from my first marriage. She only lived to be 30 years old. She passed away from ovarian cancer.
Sorry to hear that.
Hi, Wayne. This is Mar. You were talking about playing music with your family and getting the opportunity to play at different clubs and things like that. Did you ever do any gigging yourself, and do you play a musical instrument?
No, I never did. All three of my brothers did. And of course, I would go to the places where they played, and they would get me to come up and do a few songs. But that was really all I ever wanted to do. I never wanted to do it as a job. I felt like that would have taken all the enjoyment out of it.
Why did you and Kevin record any music together?
Not very much. That song that I did, Whispering Pines, he sang harmony on that with me. And I have another song that I recorded that we haven't gotten around to playing yet. He did harmony with me on that one also.
Hi, Wayne. It's Judy. Have you ever played a musical instrument?
No, I never did. I'm the only one in the family that never did.
Hey, Wayne, it's Kevin. I was just wondering, who's your favorite living brother?
I guess that would have to be you.
Oh, boy, how about that? I just want to say, I know I don't know if everybody's asked a question, but it's been a great privilege and been great having you on VIP. You're a great member and hope you stick around for a long time. We sure enjoy your company.
Wayne, this is Cheryl. I just want to say what a great interview you had tonight. Susie, what a great job. And you are a pleasure to be around and talk to you. I really enjoyed meeting you in person. You're just as gracious in person as you are on the site.
Well, thank you, Terry and Cheryl, for those nice comments. And I hope I'm around for quite a while, too.
I think a lot of people enjoy your little sayings that you have. I know Nan and Becky do.
I've always been pretty good with the one-liners.
Anyone else with questions or comments? Well, Wayne, again, I want to really thank you for the opportunity of interviewing you and a chance for us just to chat. It's been a pleasure. As Cheryl said, you're very, very gracious and enjoyable to talk with. And I do like your music.
Thanks, everybody that came in tonight. And Susie, thank you for doing the interview. You did a good job, and I enjoyed it.
Thanks, everyone, for coming in tonight. We'll try to do this again next month. I think next month, unless she backs out, Angie is supposed to be my guest. Again, enjoy the pretty weather if you're having any, and good night.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.